Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Oh, I wish I could tell you it's a lovely sunny day on the Isle of Wight. It's not really sunny, but it is lovely. And you can hear all those lovely noises from out and about on the island that Judith and I recorded, oh, unbelievably, over 2 years ago, I think, Judith.
Yeah, really enjoyed doing that, James.
But of course, nothing changes on the Isle of Wight, so it'll be good for another 100 years. Anyway, what we're going to be doing today is a little something that's different. I think it's a good idea that the Visit Isle of Wight people have come up with. It's how on earth you get around the island without actually using a car. There are plenty of ways of doing it. I mean, the island is supposedly one of the most beautiful places to explore when you're on foot. You know, Judith, I think there are something like 500 miles of pathways and cycleways on the island, and Lonely Planet actually called us the best place to cycle in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a fantastic place for walking, for cycling, for horse riding, for swimming, so many things. And Visit Isle of Wight has a campaign at the moment called Drive Less, See More, which is a great strapline, because I think we all know that if you get out of your car, if you walk, if you cycle, if you take a lovely horse ride, you slow down your journey and you can just take in so much more. And it's not just what you see, but it's what you feel and you experience. And I'm not saying to our listeners, James, you know, don't bring your car. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if you do bring your car, and you're welcome to bring your car, you know, do consider, you know, leaving it for a few days of your trip and getting out on foot or on a bike or even on a horse.
Absolutely. And you can get to the Isle of Wight, obviously, by catamaran. You can get here by hovercraft. And people think, well, I must have a car at the other end because the island's railway system is so limited. But actually, there is an alternative, because when you get on the funny old 1930s underground train at the end of Ryde Pier, you can actually connect with the Isle of Wight Steam Railway.
Absolutely, and don't forget the buses, James. There's a very, very comprehensive network of buses too.
I think it's worth reminding people about the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. I've got a little feature here that we did some time ago, and it's worth playing that again.
Hello, Vectis. Let's talk Wight.
Today on Talking Wight, we're talking about the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. The Isle of Wight Steam Railway is a heritage line in the heart of the island. The railway passes through 5.5 miles of unspoiled countryside from Smallbrook Junction to Wootton Station, with the line's headquarters and depot at a station in the middle in the tiny village of Haven Street. If you're coming to the island by foot, it's easy to access the steam railway. At Smallbrook Junction, the steam railway connects with the island line, which goes all the way down Ryde Pier to the White Link catamaran. The railway owns several steam locomotives and a small series of diesel shunters, four of which have had notable careers on the island. There are also many restored carriages. The oldest of these were built in 1864 and the last in 1924. If you're going to visit the steam railway and you're in a car, you're probably best off going to Haven Street, though, which is the railway's focal point. You can buy a ticket there which allows you to ride in the steam train all day and get off and on at any stop. Each of the stops has its own unique station building and exhibits. You can stop at Ashley, for example, for a great walk in the country, or to see horse racing on special days a few times every year. But the best thing, of course, is the ride in vintage carriages and the stirring sound of an authentic steam engine. There's plenty to do at Haven Street when you hop off there, and loads of old steam trains and wagons to see. The platform, station buildings and signal box were constructed by the Southern Railway in 1926, and the station became the passing place for all trains between Ryde and Newport. Trains still pass here on high season days when a two-train service is being operated. An exciting addition for visitors is the Train Story Discovery Centre. It's a huge modern exhibition space enabling the railway's collection of locomotives, carriages and rare rolling stock to be seen at close quarters. There are interactive displays tracing the history of the island's railways and how its steam and diesel heritage is preserved to this day. As well as that, at Haven Street there's a separate museum, a woodland walk, a themed refreshment room and a huge railway shop for train lovers. Recently, Haven Falconry has moved into Haven Street Station. So as well as chugging about on land, you can see some magnificent birds in flight. On railway operating days, you can enjoy two daily flying displays and visit the recently opened Bird of Prey Centre. The Steam Railway is largely run by volunteers. Services are operated on most days from June to September, together with selected days in spring and autumn, and public holidays. I'd recommend that you look out for special event days which combine steam with something a little bit different. My favourites are the annual Real Ale Festival, the 1940s experience, and the Santa specials at Christmas time. For more information, just go to www.iwsteamrailway.co.uk. For Talking White, I'm James Vaux.
As Tina Turner. This is the Visit Isle of Wight show. You're listening to James and Judith. We're big fans of the Isle of Wight. We've lived here a long time, and we should know everything great that's going on the island. And coming up, because we're talking about Drive Less, See More, there is the Isle of Wight Walking Festival. And Judith, you've actually taken part in this before, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been in recent years, and some years ago now, I found myself by myself on holiday on the Isle of Wight before we'd moved down here. And I joined a number of the walks that were taking place as part of the festival that year. I went along by myself, and it was an absolutely fantastic thing to do. Everybody just made me feel so very, very welcome. People I met on the talks would say to me, hey, do you want to meet up for a coffee tomorrow, or do you want to go for tea after today's walk? So I would say to anybody who loves walking and is thinking of planning a holiday by themselves, do consider coming to the Isle of Wight Walking Festival. You are walking with guides, with other people, so you'll have company. You know you're 100% safe in absolutely every way. And it's a really great thing to do by yourself or with your partner or with a bunch of friends.
No.
And also with kids as well, sorry, because I should say they have specific walks for little ones.
Fantastic for kids. Mm. The Isle of Wight Walking Festival this year is April the 28th to May the 13th. You can find out more about it at isleofwightwalkingfestival.co.uk, but there are over 90 organised walks, and they're of all abilities. I mean, you can start off with about 2 or 3 miles, which is obviously pretty easy, right round to walking around the whole of the Isle of Wight, which Judith and I have done 2 or 3 times, not in one go, I have to say. It's about 67 miles, but some of our esteemed listeners do actually do it in one go, and I know that there's a charity event surrounding that. But why don't you find out more just by going online to isleofwightwalkingfestival.co.uk? I have actually got, Judith, a few examples of what's coming up at the Isle of Wight Walking Festival here on the very first day. And it just shows, actually, quite what a range of walks there is. On the 28th of April, which is the first day, there's a river and circular coastal walk with BBC Countryfile magazine's Mark Rowe. So we have a celebrity over, which is good. There's Naughty Knighton Walk. Now, I think you're going to talk about Knighton in a minute, but Lady Worsley of Appledurcombe, or Appledurcombe, as we say here, was a bit of a... Well, bit of a goer, wasn't she?
She was, James. And in fact, there was a television programme about her not that long ago where we were told her story in dramatised form.
Absolutely. Well, you can hear more about her and her lover, one of many, who lived at Knighton Gorges on this trail. That's a 5-mile one. There's also a Tai Chi and a Qing Gong walk on the same day. So if you're into Tai Chi and Qing Gong, why don't you go on that walk? I don't know whether you're walking while you're doing the Tai Chi. I doubt it, because it's a 2-mile walk, but it should be fun.
I love doing Tai Chi, and it's great doing it outdoors as well.
It is. Now, it goes on for 2 weeks, this Walk the Wight Festival, and it culminates in something that is a very big part of the Isle of Wight, which is Walk the Wight, which is an annual feature for the Mountbatten Hospice here on the island. And it's worth listening to this, which will tell you a little bit more about it.
Hello, Vectus. Let's talk white.
Today on Talking White, we're talking about Walk the White. Now in its 27th year, Walk the White is Earl Mountbatten Hospice's unique and world-famous sponsored walk. It takes place every year in spring and attracts thousands of people to walk across the beautiful Isle of Wight countryside. In doing so, they raise money to support end-of-life patient care, family support, and bereavement services provided by the hospice. It started out as a team-building exercise, the brainwave of two chaps called Bill Bradley and Frank Stevens at a local firm of builders merchants called Morris. Today, it's grown to become the largest fundraising event on the island and the biggest sponsored walk of its kind in Europe. Over £4 million has been raised since the walk began in 1991. It's the biggest event in the Earl Mountbatten Hospice's fundraising year, and it fills a huge hole. On an annual basis, the hospice needs £7 million to keep running, and the government only provides £2 million of that. So every year, the hospice has to find £5 million from donations, legacies, sponsorship, and profits from its shops and lottery. It's a brilliant opportunity to join with friends and family and to walk from one end of the island to the other, either on a sponsored or a pay-as-you-go basis. Don't worry, you don't have to do the full 26 miles. There are five different walks with some shorter scenic options too. If you're interested in taking part, the main walk's pretty hilly and it stretches from Bembridge all the way to the Needles with gorgeous views across the island. The hospice suggests that you leave between 8 and 12 hours to complete this, but you could always do half of the walk with Carisbrook as a halfway point. If you're not up to hills, there's an alternative flat walk from Sandown to Shide, which is 8 miles and will take about 3 hours. Finally, for schools, there's a 4-mile walk from Freshwater Bay to Alum Bay. You don't have to get sponsorship if you're the bashful type, for example. One particular way of taking part is the Pay £25 package. Just do what it says on the tin, and £18 will be donated to the hospice. The rest pays for a t-shirt and walker pack, which gets you a walker number, event information, and sponsorship forms if you get a little bolder. And if you go that one stage further and pledge to raise £100 in sponsorship, then you'll get a walker pack and t-shirt absolutely free. For more information, just go to www.iwhospice.com and click on Walk the White. For Talking White, I'm James Fawkes.
Robbie Williams and Radio. Before that, The Greatest Showman. And This Is Me. Well, this is James and Judith doing the Visit Isle of Wight show, and our theme this week is a very special one. It's about getting out and about without your car on the Isle of Wight. It's called Drive Less, See More, and it's a campaign that's being hosted by Visit Isle of Wight. And we have been just talking about the Walking Festival. One of the very favourite spots we have for starting our walks is the Brading Roman Villa, isn't it, darling?
Yeah, it's a great starting point, James. If you can't make it to the Walking Festival here on the island this year, don't worry, there are lots of other walking opportunities for you, including very special monthly walks starting from the Brading Roman Villa. They're going to be generally on the first Saturday of every month. They will start in the cafe at the Brading Roman Villa at 10 o'clock. And they are led by historian Spencer Brown, who's a fascinating guide. And he will be leading walks and explaining, for example, the Roman landscape of Brading. So it puts the Roman villa there in its geographical context. He also will be leading a walk on the myths and legends of Brading. Now, the walks are free, although a donation to the villa would be most welcome. It's a gentle pace, you'll learn a lot, and you'll meet a lot of really nice people. If you'd like more information about any of these walks with dates and other details, do please just drop Spencer an email. His email address is education@bradingromanvilla.org.uk.
It's all educational with you, isn't it?
It is.
And if you want a bit more education, then stopping off at the Roman Villa before the walk or finishing back there is a great idea. Here's a little bit more about what you can expect.
This is James with news of what's going on over the next few weeks here on the Isle of Wight. If you haven't been to the Roman Villa at Brading for a while, there are plenty of reasons to visit this summer. As well as the amazing tour of the villa itself, with all of its fabulous mosaics, there's an exhibition of masks to celebrate the villa's celebrity mosaic,
The Man with a Cockerel's Head. But if you're a fan of the movie Gladiator, here's something you won't want to miss. On Saturday the 6th and Sunday the 7th of August, they're putting on a Living History weekend, so you can become totally immersed in life as a Roman. Best of all, there's going to be a theatrical recreation of the Roman Games, starring some of the performers from Ridley Scott's epic film. But sadly, Russell Crowe isn't going to be able to make it this time. All the same, you'll be able to witness some spectacular PG-rated fights in the arena, chat with the gladiators, dress up in armour, and handle the weapons themselves. If you fancy something a little less gory, there'll be a Roman market, and you'll be able to eat Roman foodstuffs. There are even craft stores where you'll be able to buy mosaics made on the island and other local produce. Even Caligula would give this a thumbs up before throwing you to a tiger. Tickets are £14.95 for adults, £12.50 for children, and you can find more information on the website www.braidingromanvilla.org.uk. With Talking White, I'm James Vaughks.
The John Barry 7. Now, Judith and I are talking about things you can do on the island without your car. There is a little booklet here that we've got that has been produced by Visit Isle of Wight called We Know Cycling. There's a bit of a hint in that, isn't there? But six great adventures you can do without your car that don't involve cycling. I think they've got quite a good selection here. One is to trek around with alpacas.
That's lovely.
Which is lovely. We've done that. I think, unfortunately, you're no longer able to do that at Head and Warren, because you used to be able to walk up Head and Warren and have a beautiful view of Tennyson Down from the other side. That no longer is available, but you can go to the alpaca farm over on the West White and then trot around with them. Going around the Needles in a kayak. Now, that is good fun. I've been around Bembridge Harbour in a kayak, but never around the Needles. That's a good one. How about going over to Bryston and following the Warrior Trail?
Now, that's a good one.
Because, of course, the warhorse that you saw at the theatre and the one that you saw on the big screen in that Spielberg film was an Isle of Wight horse called Warrior. Yeah.
Yes, the First World War horse.
That's right. Yep. And you can go around Mottisden Manor, and there's a great trail around there on the West White where you can see all the famous places that are referred to in the movie and actually find out a little bit more about what happened to Warrior after he was decommissioned. There's also paragliding that you can do. That's something that you can do off the Downs and then around Whitecliff Bay, which is great fun. And if you want to just play around on the beach, why don't you try looking for some dinosaur bones while you're doing it. Top of the list, though, from Visit Isle of Wight is, this is a bit of a cheat, actually, because we said we weren't going to be in a car, hopping on an open-top bus and then going up to the Needles, which I think is something that is the quintessence of a visit to the Isle of Wight. Let's hear a little bit more about the Needles.
Hello, Vectis. Let's talk white.
Today on Talking White, we're talking about the Needles. As soon as you think of the Isle of Wight, the iconic image of the world-famous chairlift taking you to see the Needles rocks and coloured sands spring to mind. The Needles is a row of three distinctive stacks of chalk that rise out of the sea off the western extremity of the Isle of Wight, close to Alum Bay. The Needles Lighthouse stands at the outer western end of the formation. Built in 1859, it has been automated since 1994. The formation takes its name from the fourth needle-shaped pillar called Lot's Wife that collapsed in a storm in 1764. The remaining rocks are not at all needle-like, but the name is stuck. Scenic boat trips operating from Alum Bay that offer close-up views of the Needles, the rocks and the lighthouse have become icons of the Isle of Wight and are featured in many of the souvenirs sold throughout the island. The main tourist attractions of the headland itself are the two gun batteries, the experimental rocket testing station, and the four Coast Guard cottages. The Needles were a site of long-standing artillery battery from the 1860s to 1954, which was eventually decommissioned. A nearby site on High Down was employed in the testing of rockets for the British ICBM program. During the peak of activity in the early 1960s, some 240 people worked at the complex while the rockets were built in nearby East Cowes. These rockets were later used to launch the Prospero X-3 satellite. The site is now owned by the National Trust and is open to the public. The range of attractions at the Needles includes the spectacular chair ride to the beach and the sand cliffs. At the sand shop, visitors can make their own unique coloured sand souvenirs. You can also enjoy the 4D cinema, where you can imagine being drawn into an exciting world where you don't just watch the movie, you can feel like you're right there in the middle of it. Another great place to visit is Alan Bay Glass. It's educational as well as fun. Visitors can watch the fascinating art of glass blowing and see craftsmen make a variety of crafted glassware. At the Isle of Wight Sweet Manufactory, you can watch skilled sweet makers create sweets that you won't find anywhere else. A sample of the sweets is compulsory. There are also a variety of children's attractions, including a traditional Victorian carousel, spins and Needles teacup ride, and not to mention the games kiosk. The Needles are certainly one of the island's most famous landmark attractions and has so much more to enjoy than just the stunning views. It's a destination not to be missed. For more information, visit www.theneedles.co.uk. With Talking White, I'm Dominic Cole.
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, your station, your community.
Ah, those wonderful days in the 80s when you could make a track with a Casio CL tone. Anyway, you're walking on sunshine here with James and Judith on Vectis Radio. This is the end of another heady Visit Isle of Wight show for this week, but no visit to the Isle of Wight, Judith, is complete, is it, without looking for red squirrels?
I know, there's a great day coming up organised by the Isle of Wight Red Squirrel Trust. They're inviting us all to a bluebell day in Knighton East Wood on April the 29th, 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 a.m. You will have chance to spot the hedgehogs, spot the red squirrels. You can go on guided walks. You can enjoy the bluebells, the plants, the refreshments. The cost is £3 per adult. Children go free. Proceeds to the Isle of Wight Red Squirrel Trust. Dogs on a lead are welcome, so you can bring the whole family. Why not head on down there to Knighton? That's Knighton with a K, Eastwood. It's near Knighton Shoot, you're turning off the Downs Road. Any inquiries, do please contact whitesquirrels@hotmail.com. whitesquirrels@hotmail.com, and that's a great day out for the whole family on the 29th of April.
Yeah, it's truly a lovely moment, isn't it, when you see a red squirrel?
Yeah, really exciting.
We saw one at Osborne House the other day, and they are very cute little critters. So, just a reminder of the Isle of Wight Walking Festival, that is April the 28th to May the 13th, and you can get a load of the walks at www.isleofwightwalkingfestival.co.uk. Hope to see you there. We're going to leave you with Elton John, Pinball Wizard. In just a few moments, there's going to be another older and wiser show here on Vectis Radio.